Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings. This is We Talk Production, one of the few black radio networks that explores solutions to issues in the black community. Presents Black Urban America. All you folks that listen by laptops, if you want to participate in tonight's show, you may dial 516-531-9540. That 516-531-9540 or press 1. The lineup, Tuesday, have Black Urban America. And myself, I'm your host. My name is Kenny Jones. Wednesday, we had The Cutting Edge with Michonne Williams. On Thursday, we have The Part of Harlem with Wayne A. Young. On Saturdays, we have Provocative Thought with Carlton Sleeve. I would just take a minute to apologize last week for all the technical problems. The Wi-Fi wasn't working, so therefore, we had to stop in the middle of the show. We continue tonight with our monthly series with the Sisters of the Underground. Tonight we have Sister Cassandra and Sister Chantel. They will be discussing emergency preparation, which include gun training and self-defense. Who do I have on the line, Chantel or Cassandra? Hello?
Hi, this is Cassandra. How you doing?
How you doing, Cassandra? Welcome. Chantel is not with us yet. So therefore, I was expecting Sister Shakur just to run the show tonight.
She'll be on.
Huh?
I said she will be on. She's just going to be coming in a little late. She has something to do. Something to take care of right quick.
Yes. So tell us, what is the concept behind emergency preparation?
Well, you know, emergency preparation is needed in every household, especially a black household. You know, most people, they had family that originated in the South, and they lived off the land and herbal tinctures. They knew how to chop wood. They knew how to light fires. We need to get back to that because anything can happen at any time. I mean, for example, the whole state of Texas lost power and had snow. And look what happened for those who weren't ready just because they thought, hey, I live in this hot state. This can't happen here. So we got to start getting prepared to survive in any type of situation in any state.
So how do you prepare oneself?
One of the things that we do is we start bug out bags. And
what's a bug?
In our bug out
bag. Bug out bag?
A bug out bag. Well, there's two bags, sir. Bug out bag and a bug in bag. So the bug out bag is when you have to go outdoors, outside, whatever you need to do. And the bug-in bag is bags that you would pack in the house to be prepared for an event in the home, if you could not leave the home, or just for some of my domestic violence survivors, just in an event you've got to run away from home. So in these bags, you have stuff like gloves, water, depending on how big your bag is, first aid kits. If you're a woman, sanitary items. If you're a guy, you know, the same thing. And it's something you have to be able to carry, like on your back. You might have to go up a hill. You know, you just want to be prepared. If you went in the woods right now with what's in your bag, what would you have that could help you?
Flashlight, matches for a campfire. Canned goods. Canned goods, some canned goods that you could also a mess kit. At first aid, like you said, first aid kit. Anything that you may need for the out. You have to be properly dressed. Hiking boots, jeans, you know, depending on the time of the season of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So have I been to ballpark?
Yeah, you're definitely right in the ballpark, right in the ballpark. And, you know, we have to be mentally prepared for these things, too. A lot of times, if you are not a survivalist or a person who is familiar with the things like you and I, you will naturally panic and forget things, you know. One of the drills I started here with my gun club here, and I'm going to do it with the Sisters of the Underground, too. I have everybody packed and think we're just going away for a weekend. And then, boom, 3 o'clock in the morning, I have a fake emergency. We all got to get up and scat in 2 minutes. What they have in their bag is what we got for the weekend. And so the next time, you know, to be more prepared. You know, I even myself, in the middle of rushing everybody else, got caught slipping and left the first aid kit. So it can happen.
And you know what? Especially this day and age with the different climate changes, you know, how many people, how many families are prepared to depart from their home in a matter of seconds before you have floods, fires, like should the bug out bag be in the home or in your car?
I think that you should keep one in the car and one in the home. I always keep an emergency bag in the car, but, you know, I also keep one in the home. What if a flood happens or a tornado happens and your car is damaged because a tree is on it? You know, you can't get to that bag.
So why do you think, why is it so important, and we'll get back to the bug out bag and the bug in bag. Like we just came off for a year of the pandemic. We're still in the middle of a pandemic, but cities have closed down. You know, what should a lot of people rushing out to the super, like for another thing, like blizzards. And you know that a blizzard is coming, a hurricane is coming, and you're going to have to stay indoors. What's your family's immediately get from the supermarket for their home, because they might be in there for, because, for example, I was in Hurricane Sandy, which was in about 8 years ago, you know, and luckily I had candles, and there was no electricity for a week, so a lot of people were not prepared. Stores,
they were not
open.
They were not.
You know, so what should homes have to prepare for these these weather conditions, like Katrina, Hurricane Sandy, the blizzards that you might be stuck in for days, weeks.
Yep.
I just want to say something. People that supposed to be on the panel, press one so I could chime you in. Go ahead, Sister Cassandra. Oh, this must be Sister Shannon.
Yeah, for a flashlight.
Flashlight,
I always try to
and
five or six flashlights.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hold up for a second.
And then a large one, some small ones, one that goes on your head. I try to keep cotton balls and Vaseline, a magnesium stick. I keep matches, a grill with charcoal, because what if you have a gas stove and there's no gas or electric stove, there's no power.
Right.
So, you know, you and I, we from up north, so we a grill in the wintertime. We don't care. You know, we familiar with these blizzards. So it's like second nature to us, bada boom, bada bang.
Yes.
But you know, those are things. Temperatures.
You got to stock up. You got to stock up on toiletries, napkins, paper plates, because it might not be any running water, or the water might be affected for a few days. That has happened in the past. Who's joining us? Is this Chantel? Hello.
I think she's. I don't know. She's somewhere. She's coming on.
462.
That's Sister Shakur.
Oh, the general. Well, go right ahead and have that discussion. I was just having a conversation about the bug out and the bug in bad. Go ahead, Sister Shakur. Take it away.
Peace and power, everyone. I was able to listen to just a bit as I was before I logged in, actually. And I just want to add to that, I'm not sure if you guys, maybe I missed it, but we also have to make sure that we have generators, you know. And then Sister mentioned having the grill, but if it comes to an actual real life disaster where absolutely everyone is fending for themselves, we don't want to actually barbecue or have the grill outside because the smell can attract unwanted attention. So let's try to have that generator with portable stoves and things like that on the inside, the curb, some of that. But again, Sis was correct that you do need the grill. But in harsh times where absolutely everything is like down to the core, you know, folks see you got a grill outside and they don't have any food, they may come to your house trying to take what you have. So just as a precaution, we want to try to have both. The generator also serves as if the power goes out. You don't have to have a really big, expensive one. Try to start with, you know, a small one and then upgrade throughout the years as you go. Me, myself, I have a fairly large one because, you know, my home serves as ground zero for myself and I have four children who are adults and, you know, starting their own lives in their own places. But they know in the time of an emergency if stuff gets locked down and, you know, everybody got to kind of fend for themselves, they know to make their way home to mama house because mama got everything that, you know, they're going to have. But as far as food and things like that, we want to make sure that we have beans, things that we can cook fairly easy and stuff that is able to be stored. Rice, you want to have beans, rice, canned goods. You know, when the pandemic happened, everyone was out trying to, you know, scuffle and buffle last minute shopping. I was actually at home chilling because I'm like, I don't have to go out there. I stock up throughout the year. I also know how to can my own food. So my pantry was, you know, we were good. Then when everyone realized it wasn't as bad as they thought it was going to get, you know, I did go back out and kind of replace some of the things that we have. But we shouldn't put ourselves in a position to when an emergency happened, we're scrambling trying to get those things we think we're going to need. You should definitely be doing it throughout the year. It can get pricey trying to stock up in one lump sum, if you will. So just add a little bit at a time. Every time I go grocery shopping, I get things that, you know, would serve as emergency food. You want to try to have a deep freezer full of frozen food if you need that as well. I myself am a vegetarian, so I don't really need a lot of meat, but my children do eat meat. So I keep my deep freezer full of things that they may need during an emergency. You want to make sure that
that may even go bad, too, because we do have some weather disasters where there's no electricity. Because everything in the refrigerator may go bad. So what do you do for that?
But then here's the thing. You may be with, you know, when it comes to weather disasters, not as intense you know, your deep freezer is going to take a couple of days before it actually, you know, will spoil all of your food. You got a little buying time. But, again, if you do lose all of that refrigerated food, you have your backup food, which is your dry foods, your rice, your canned goods, things like that. We have to think long term. We can't think more as luxury items. You got to think of survival items. You know, having some meat is, you know, pretty, I consider that a luxury. But when times get hard, you're not going to be thinking about any meat. You're just going to be thinking about putting something in your belly. So that's where the rice and the beans and, you know, canned vegetables and things like that come in. When you down to the wire and you just starving, you're not really caring about meat necessarily. You just want to eat, you know. Another thing is we definitely have to make sure that we are stocking up on our water. There is absolutely no reason any household should not have extra water stored in your garage or, you know, if you're in an apartment, designate an area where you have at least, at minimum, 4 to 6 cases of water. I prefer more, much sugar, say I go overboard. Because, you know, at every time I go to the store, I'm buying about 4 or 6 cases of water. So it tends to stock up, and they don't, you know, they're not really happy that I store all of that stuff. But again, when the pandemic happened, we didn't have to go out there. You know, I could go straight to my garage and my pantry, and we were okay, you know. The other thing is you definitely want to make sure you have your toilet paper. We all saw how everyone lost their mind out there scrambling for toilet paper. That was absolutely ridiculous.
I've been killing on that spot.
It was absolutely ridiculous how people were behaving, trying to get toilet paper. And I'm like, why don't you have extra toilet paper from the jump? But I have to realize now everyone has been raised to think that way. My mom actually taught us as I was a young child, you know, watching her stock up. So some of that kind of carried over into my adulthood. I saw what she did, and I'm like, okay, every house is supposed to have these things, not really knowing that it was a survival mechanism. I just thought it was something I had to do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So in addition to that, you, like I said, you want to make sure you have like a portable radio, a scanner, because if the electricity go out, you can't run to your television to get the latest news. Your phone may die out, so you should have walkie-talkies, things like that. And, you know, of course, all three of us, we are gun club members of Huey P. Newton Gun Club. So number one, for defense, everyone should get trained and know how to operate a firearm safely. You know, go get your concealed carry license. Even if you don't want to carry it every day, every home should have one for an emergency. Lock it in your safe. If you're not one to carry it every day, but you have to have one, or you should have one in your home. And with that, again, you do need to get training. You should not go out and just purchase a firearm without getting proper training. Learn how to clean it. Learn how to take it apart. Learn how to, you know, fire it. Those are all things that, you know, will help you survive any type of disaster. If you have to hit the road in an emergency and, you know, other people's cars break down and they see you, what if they try to take your transportation? So you have to think long-term and ahead, not right in the moment is what I'm getting at. And Sister Cassandra, if you had anything else you wanted to add.
I was going to say, you know, I first started really looking into survivalism. I can't remember the name of the show, but everybody lived in Alaska. and they used to rush to get ready for the winter time. And I thought about, like, when I was little, back, you know, when I used to go to Alabama to visit, they used to do stuff like cure meat. They, like you said, they had pickling jars. They always had a grill. There was all, back then, permits weren't, gun permits were the thing. So as long as I can remember, my granddaddies had shotguns. It wasn't even a thing. They was there. Grandma, too. So now, you know, we have moved on up, so to speak. So we can get some bottled water instead of well water. But I was buying those big water cooler waters.
Yeah.
So I was buying a whole bunch of those, and I seen that we didn't have any bleach, so I went and got some pool bleach and mixed it with water in the event that I had to have some kind of makeshift bleach. Or, you know, just stuff like that. You gotta think outside the box on what you're going to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Did Sister Chantel ever get in?
No.
She did not? Okay.
I was saying those are the type of things, you know, people used to farm. I know I'm always talking about farming, but I swear, people used to farm back in the day and have their whole winters, everything they needed for the winter, no matter what the conditions. It could be a mild winter. It could be a horrific winter. They knew they had what they needed, you know. We don't always know how to build fires. We're just starting to learn this. And so I think it's important that we not just store up on it, but constantly put it into practice until it becomes second nature like it used to be.
Oh, that's Sister Chantel. She says she's on the call. You probably haven't let her in yet.
Oh, hold up. It's her last four numbers, 5120.
Yes, I believe so.
Oh, she been on. Sister Chantel,
yes, she
I'm
is.
Sorry. I told
yes,
y'all.
I'm here. I've been listening.
I told y'all the press one. Okay, go ahead.
Did you have anything you wanted to ask, sis?
Oh, I was just going to say, during the whole pandemic or plandemic, and even during the Texas winter storm, I really learned to start fasting.
Yeah.
So it took my mind off of not wanting to eat, and just in case if I did run out of food or something, I learned to fast, go as long as I could without eating. And it didn't bother me. I probably ate like once a day. And, you know, I try not to eat where I would get fat, full, but just enough where I had enough energy for the day. So that's really one thing that me and my daughter, we really practice on fasting every day. And I taught her how to not waste the tissue. I showed her how to pull off a certain amount of sheets so she would, you know, so we wouldn't go through tissue. I mean, I didn't have to buy extra anything, but I just learned to use what we had and ration it out.
Yeah. And let's touch on that, because you both know that I'm an avid faster. You know, I just randomly fast. I've done liquid fasting for as long as 30 days plus. But in the book by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, it's a book called How to Eat to Live. And in that book, it teaches you that you should be only eating one meal a day. If you go by what we have been taught, eating 3-4 times a day, your body really don't have time to digest all of that food adequately. And I never knew that until I read those books. And once I started getting into it, that's what led me to going full vegetarian. I was vegan at one point, but that was a little... It was a little hard for me, so I just went vegetarian. But I do recommend that every black person out there pick up that book. It will open your eyes to so many different things that we have been programmed
to believe that is, you know, healthy and beneficial to us. That book, I'm telling you, what you thought to be healthy, once you get your hands on this book, it will take you to another level. Certain foods, certain, you know, and there is also certain beans and certain things that we're not supposed to eat. Absolutely.
And also,
and believe it or not, not all vegetables are healthy for us, as you know, too. This book, like I said, this book, it gives you a list of all the foods that is designed to actually enhance the life of, you know, it's catered to you know, black folks. You know, I don't say African-American. Yep. I say black people. But like I said, I do recommend everyone try to get that book and take your time and go through it. I keep that book on my kitchen counter in addition to my recipe book just as a reference guide alone. And it doesn't really necessarily only focus on food. It, you know, it teaches you how to become one with your spirituality as well, because if you're fasting, you should also be getting in tune with your mind, body, and spirit. Like, you know, do your meditation. If you pray, do your prayer. You know, it's not necessarily what we put in our body all the time, but it's also what we put in our mind as well. And a lot of people don't know that, you know, black people, we really don't need a lot of food. We can sit out in the sun and absorb some of that sun and get energy. When I was doing my 30-day plus liquid fast, I'm telling you, my senses were out of control. And I'm talking about smell. My spirit was elevated. You know, my mind was much clearer. And every day I would just go sit out in the sun and just let nature do its course. And, you know, back to the whole meat thing, you know, our ancestors didn't eat meat before we became enslaved over here, before we were taken against, you know, our will. We were naturally vegetarians. We ate vegetables and, you know, flowers and things like that. That was our natural diet. All of that meat stuff we didn't get introduced until we were brought over here. You know, and I'm rambling, so I'm going to let one of them take over because I could talk about this all day. But I'm going to let one of them go ahead and take it.
Shoot, I was listening. I'm going to try this sun thing and see what happens. Now, I fasted before, and, you know, your senses are elevated, you know, and you're very in tune to yourself, and that's the best part. But I haven't tried the sun, or if I was in the sun, I wasn't aware that I was even soaking up.
Yeah,
the
sun activates our melanin.
Yes,
nice.
It does. Yes, it
does. Also,
and, you
know,
we've been told for years not to be in the sun.
Yeah. Yep, we built for the sun for sure.
And, you know, I do want to add that, you know that we're supposed to drink a certain amount of water every day to hydrate our body. But let's try to add, you know, lime to our water. And if you can, you can add lemon. I prefer lime, actually, because it alkalines your water, if that, you know. And that helps break down the mucus in your body. And we all know that mucus is what actually is the cause of all of these diseases and, you know, health things that we go through. If you can fast and just have alkaline water with your lemon, guarantee it'll relieve some of that mucus in your system and you'll start feeling much better. That is when people are ill and fighting sinus infections or common colds, I tell them you need to fast and drink your water. Put that lemon in there. 1 to 2 days, you'll be feeling better, guaranteed you will. You don't need all of these medications that they try to prescribe us and
things like that when the, again, when the pandemic happened, I didn't go out buying all these different medications. I saw people out fighting over Tylenol, ibuprofen, and, you know, things like that. You know what I stocked up on? Elderberry. I make my own elderberry syrup to, you know, boost your immune system. I didn't need all of that extra stuff because I, you know, I am a certified herbalist as well. So I do know that the herbs work when you flood your body with it. I have seen diabetes reversed just by different herbs that, you know, people have flooded their system with. We have to get back to our natural state of mind when it comes to things like that. Stop relying, I mean, look at it this way, these pharmaceutical companies that make these medications that they giving you, if you don't take that medication, they don't make money. So why would they give you something to treat disease? You know what I mean? They're keeping you sick with all of that because they make more money if you're sick. If they actually giving you something that's going to reverse a health condition, then that wipes out their money. You know how they're able to create all of these different medications? Because they studied what our ancestors did. They studied the different herbs that heal you and make you better, and they reversed it to create their medication. So that's where the whole pharmaceutical thing came from, and I'm getting off track. So I'm going to let you guys take get a few words in. I didn't mean to take over. But
no, I know we got off the track of survival, but this is still survival as well. But, you know, those medications,
yeah,
all they do is turn on your sensories to make you not feel the pain. The pain is still there.
Yeah, yeah, it's just numbing it.
But it's just, yeah, it's just turning off that sensory to say that it's not there and have your mind thinking that, okay, I'm better, but you really not better. And 20 years down the road, you sick as a dog because you didn't band-aid over something for so long. And then on top of eating all this junk that they feeding us, so it's like, you know, when they do introduce these viruses, we already too far in the game to get well because we already been feeding our body this poison. So you have, so these people have no choice but to take this vaccine.
Yeah.
You know, because what? You already in the game of too long in, you know, treating your body with all this mess.
Yeah. And I actually want
to
add, and then I do actually have two other books that I recommend, you know, black people that they should, you know, these books stay on my shelf, and I tell everyone that they need to read these. One is called African Holistic Health by Layla Africa.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm saying that anywhere, and I'm paraphrasing. But I know for sure the book is called African Holistic Health. Please check that book out and get familiarize yourself with how our ancestors, you know, used to heal themselves and treat different ailments and diseases. We didn't have all of these diseases and things, again, until we came over here and started mixing and integrating with, you know, other folks. The other book I do want to recommend everyone to read is called Medical Apathy, and that's by Harriet Washington, I believe. It could be a different last name, but I know for sure the title of that book is called Medical Apathy. It's a red and black cover, and I believe I had that title right. Please take a look, especially that one. It teaches you, you know, all of these different pandemics that have been thrown on black folks, these medical tests that they have ran on us against our knowledge. You know, we go to the doctor thinking we getting a immunization shot, as they call it, and really they're injecting us with something else that's causing a disease.
these books are definitely must reads, and you definitely will walk away with a new perspective on, you know, how to live your life as far as being healthy. And like Sister said, you know, those are actually survival mechanisms too, because if you're fighting a medical problem and the world is outside shutting down, you can't get to the store to get these different prescriptions you need, what you gonna do then? You have to learn how to treat your own symptoms and heal yourself. Mm-hmm. Again, they are not going to give you things to heal yourself, because if they heal you completely, they're losing out on money. So why would you?
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
And another book would be Queen Afua, The Guide to Healing the Mind, Body, and Spirit. That is my first book that I ever, my first Black history book that I've ever read completely. And that was what made me change my whole diet to stop eating meat and getting more into oils and herbs and incense and things like that. Just
the
fragrance of the smell. Yeah, just having a certain fragrance of a smell can change your whole mental attitude for the day.
Mhm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, that is another one that should be on everyone's shelf. Forgot about that.
And that they also have one for the men. She also wrote one for the men as well. Men, Heal Thyself by Queen Afua.
And all of the books that we just mentioned, again, it doesn't just teach you about, you know, herbals and food and things like that. It definitely touches on your mental. And we know that in the Black community that is a huge problem for us. And, you know, let me slow down. Absolutely. It starts with your mental clarity. Because if you have these different health issues and you have in your head, oh, this is going to kill me, I have diabetes and it's no cure, then, of course, you're never going to be cured, you know, because now you have let that disease and that health condition consume your mental. And once it does that, you know, the chances of actually healing from those are very low. You have to clear your mind. You have to. It starts with your mental health. Everything goes back to your mental health.
And that's really what saved me during any pandemic, the winter storm. Because my mind was such in a good place that, I mean, nothing really bothered me. People ask me why I was so happy. Well, why was I supposed to be sad? You know, I mean,
right.
Why was I supposed to be all depressed? But I think that was just the whole plan, is to get people depressed. And away from, and you know, you already away from your family. It's just been a whole mind game. And they've been playing with our minds for so long, and we're such in a dark, deep place that if we don't get our mind together, it's just not going to be no help for us.
It's a losing battle once that mind is gone.
I had said that earlier, when you out in the woods and say you have to go out in the woods, you got to have a mindset to survive out there.
Yep, you got to get out there amongst these trees. People are afraid to be outside in the nature. You can barely get people to come outside.
Is we got a bear problem up here. I don't know what's a good time to come out.
I'll be out there with them. I seen them bears you posted the other day. I was like, oh, my gosh, I want to be out there with them.
Yeah, we can trade places any day. Russell the Gator.
I am a avid hiker. You know, I tell you two all the time, I'm going hiking. I actually went today as well. But when I go hiking, I reach at the top of that mountain. I take time to meditate, and I'm breathing and soaking in that sun. And any time that I have something that is causing me to have a bad day and I feel like my mental is not where it needs to be, I get up and I go out there and I hike, get to the top of that mountain and leave everything up there. By the time I meditate and soak in that sun and come back down, I'm a whole new person. We have to connect back to nature when it comes to, you know, certain things as far as eating or, you know, clearing your mind. A lot of people always talk about, you got to clear your mind, but we don't teach them how. We have to get back to meditating as well. You know, I could be standing in the middle of a busy crowd, and if I feel that I need to meditate, I'm able to block all that noise out and just connect, you know, 1 or 2 minutes and clear my mind. We got to learn these different things that our ancestors used to practice.
Yep, I agree.
We got dead space, guys. We got to talk.
Oh, no. You know what happened? I thought, for some reason, I had thought the brother was going to, he had something to say.
No, I'm listening to y'all.
Did we take over the show, brother?
Yeah, I'm listening to you guys and taking notes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I promise, Chantel, them beers get in your bag and take all your stuff. You ain't going to like them no more. So, but that's the other thing, depending on where we are, right? If you're outside in the elements, you have to deal with a lot of animals. Are you prepared to deal with that? You know which animals will and won't attack you. Like here, we've got this animal called a fisher cat. It's in the possum family. But one of my neighbors used to love to go stay in the woods. We live by a creek. There's coyotes, bobcats, bears, deer. The fisher cat is the thing that bit his fingertip off. And, you know, if you don't know what animals are around you, that's part of surviving out in the woods, too. Because that food, of food is going to attract all kinds of animals.
Yeah, you're right. But if we don't ever be out there to find out what's out there, too, we ain't going to never know.
Nope. And you have to know what firearm is going to take down what animal.
Yeah, you do.
I don't know if I could.
One thing I had learned. What do you say?
Either, bro.
I don't know if y'all had talked about this earlier, but when I had took a firearm cleaning class, and we actually had a medical specialist come in and show us how to pack wounds. And how to use a tourniquet?
Yep, it's a tourniquet.
Stop the bleeding. And that was the first time I've ever seen that. And it was just very interesting. Yeah, it was real interesting because he was just saying how it could be a simple car accident that you can help save somebody's life, or somebody you're out, you know, at a rally or a protest, somebody gets shot. You know, ambulance can't come in and get to that person. And he was just showing us how to, you know, pack the wound and stuff it and stop the bleeding. And I was like, wow, like just something that simple that could save somebody's life. And, you know, especially like with us being here, like I'm in Houston, I've never been in a flood, but I've been hearing all these stories of these tragedies of people not, you know, just don't know the basic care to help save a life, and they have to leave the loved one there to die. Because you don't know you don't know when somebody coming to rescue you. And
should know CPR training too.
And they don't.
They should.
Oh, absolutely. CPR training. And so do your children. You need to have your children learn as well. CPR. And you should, I'm sure you guys already mentioned your medical kit. And like Sis was saying, that tourniquet. You don't just get these kits and not know how to use the tools in there. And, you know, get them and play around with them. Learn them, you know. I am CPR certified. I've been certified for, you know, a long time, many years. But when I first got my kit, even though I was CPR trained, I never opened it and played around with that tourniquet until I saw someone else, you know, talking about it. Just like Sis said, I went right on YouTube and pulled up videos and learned how to use my tools and then learned how to tie off a certain spot. And learning all of that, like she said, you could save someone's life, you could save someone's arm from being amputated or whatever the case may be. We definitely got to make sure that we just don't go get these gigantic first aid kits, throwing them in our bug out bags or throwing them up under our feet without knowing how to use it. Because when an emergency comes, you're not going to have time to sit there and try to read some directions or Google how to use something. It should be second nature. That's what we want to strive for, having all of this stuff programmed in our mind. Because, again, if electricity goes out and your phone is dead, how you going to pull up something on YouTube? You know, how you going to run to your laptop or something like that? So try to get out of the mindset that you always have that phone for backup. Get you some disposable communications, walkie-talkies, things like that. Radios. You know, what do they call it? Transistor radio.
They don't type of radios anymore. They'll let you go to a pawn shop.
No, you can find AM, PM radios.
But we also got to start, you know, start learning how different signals between your, you know, your neighbors and all that kind of stuff.
SOS
code. Know.
Yeah. Yep, SOS code. Absolutely.
Swimming is one. That's what I praise. Oh, go ahead.
No, sis, go ahead. I was just trying to fill in the air.
Oh, that's why I praise Brother AJ with TanSock so much, because they're out teaching people how to swim, and people don't be realizing how that swimming is important. Because just like in Houston, again, when it floods, what you going to do if you cannot swim? You can't save your life, or you try to save somebody else, especially if you try to save. Because I've read that most people that try to save somebody else, they end up drowning. Because when you try to save somebody that don't know how to swim, it's that latch, they latch on you from that being scared, and they end up taking you under, and the swimmer ends up dying.
And
you'd be surprised how many black folks don't know how to swim.
I am surprised.
Because I am one. You know, I hate to admit it, but I am one.
That was the first thing my father taught me how to do was swim.
We're going to have to get you signed up with AJ then.
Yeah, well, you're going to have to come down here and take some lessons with me.
Right. I know how to keep myself from drowning, but actually getting out there trying to rescue someone and going out in the ocean and all that, I don't know how to do that.
That's all right.
I know how to swim. I know how to swim, but I don't know how to save somebody because you're not about to grab on me. I'm biting you.
That's what I'm saying.
You got to turn me loose because you're not about to take me under this dark, murky water, and I don't know what's in here with me. But yeah, I am planning on taking one of those classes with AJ sometime, hopefully before the summer is over, because I want to learn how to do that.
I want to go scuba diving mainly.
Yeah, that too. I want to jump out the airplane. All that.
Yeah, that's
I want to
forget about that.
Now that I want to do.
I'll ride with y'all up here for moral support, but
I am not jumping out
no.
the airplane.
But you know what? They like when they have to go rescue people. They have. That's what you gotta go do.
I know.
Maybe
I'll just give y'all the aerial view. I'll revisit this in a year. So that's
Now, you're
going to do the commentary, the aerial commentary, brother.
I am not jumping out of any plane. Now, I'll go in that ocean. You know, I'm not jumping out of no plane.
And see, I have a huge fear of heights.
But you know what? Somebody brought this up earlier about planning their own festivals and stuff like that. We need to get back to that. You know. We need to get back to that. Nobody don't plant their own the gardens.
You can also plant. They also been teaching you to be able to plant little small sections where you can have it in your home. You know, just little single serve plants and stuff, which I think is very neat, especially if you live in an apartment or whatever like that.
Mm-hmm.
I've been saying it's a guy here in Houston. He teaches you, and now he gave me some stuff, and they all died. It wasn't successful. But that is something that I do need to I need to get better at it, because you know I wouldn't mind just going to go pick me a tomato and me a leaf and salt and pepper it. I'm good. That's a meal for me.
And get back.
I don't want to go to the store once a day, right?
On how to eat to live. Eating once a day helps with discipline. You know, you were told about getting touch with spirituality, what have you. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad also said it helps with discipline. And just because you eat once a day, you know, that don't mean you eat like a platter of food. You know, you eat a meal. You eat a meal. You know, that's going to be conducive for your own, keep you ready for the next 24 hours.
Right. Yep. I agree.
You know, in other words, you don't take out because you're going to eat once a day. And also you said a good time to eat is between 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. I don't know why you select the time. That's something I couldn't understand. Why 3 to 6? You know, so, that was very interesting you brought that up. But nobody touched on today about self-defense. We got a few minutes left. Why we all got to know self-defense?
One thing that I've noticed about self-defense is, and we kind of spoke on it a little bit. So what if something happens, and like Lasady said earlier, you're the only one got food? What you going to do when everybody start coming over there trying to get your food?
They're going to beat Mr. Louisville. Louisville back.
But what if you run out of bullets? You got to know how to back them, you know. What if you run out of ammo? You got to have a plan B, you know. You got to have a plan B. So you definitely got to know
sure
how to
you let off. You let off one round. I bet you ain't nobody else about to come around there.
Yeah.
But no, self-defense is so important because what I'm learning, I just took my self-defense instructor's firearm class, and what I learned is just because you got a firearm, it ain't best to always shoot that. You'll be in more trouble shooting it than if you try to retreat yourself. So having self-defense and knowing when to, notice harm and danger and get yourself out of it before you have to use that firearm.
Yep.
Yeah. And again,
well, you better know how to fight.
Don't
too.
Just go. Say that again, brother.
Better know how to fight.
Well, that's what I was saying. That's your plan B, you know. Like I said, you definitely got to have that plan B, know how to throw an adequate punch and, you know, kick somebody upside the head if need be. But in addition to learning how to physically defend yourself, we have to go back to the mentality of self-defense because it teaches you discipline as well. Learning how, you know, getting your CCW, your concealed carry license, they teach you the different laws and teach you when to react, because if we got everyone out there that have firearms and first thing they think about is pulling their firearm and just, you know, going off blazing everyone, then that's a hazard. You know, we want you to get disciplined with it, learn, like Sister said, learn how to identify an immediate threat versus just being able to back someone down. You don't always have to, you know, shoot someone, but you definitely have to learn how to identify when which one is going to come into play, you know. But, you know, we know, because we're in gun club, we know that once you actually pull that out, it's no turning back from there. You better be ready to use that sucker.
Well, we got a couple minutes left. We have a couple minutes left. Anyone that want to get in touch with you, hand out your information. And Sister Shakur, I left so many messages with you. Could you please return my call? I know you're a busy sister, but return a brother call.
You know, I'm going to be honest with you. If you left me a voicemail, I probably haven't even looked. Like, I can't tell you how many voicemails I have sitting in my log. It's best to text me or, again, message me through Facebook. You'll get a much quicker response that way. I could be on a mission where I have my phone on silent or do not disturb or something. So just shoot me a text and I'll see it pop up. But to get hold of Sisters of the Underground, we are a full service crisis response network for Black communities. You can do so by emailing us at undergroundsisters1@gmail.com. And that's undergroundsistersplural1@gmail.com. And we are recruiting. I know we got like 2 minutes, but we are recruiting in the different cities and states. So if, you know, some of you email us and ask us what services we offer and where you can fit in, we'll get you that information.
Okay. Well, as always, I enjoy your conversation and discussion, and I look forward to next month. And as to my audience, we did another week. Sister Underground brought us an important topic, and get your homes ready. And not only your homes, get your children ready, your family ready, get yourself mentally and physically ready, because anything could jump off at any time, especially in this country that we, especially in these times. As always, I am because we are because I am. So Shakur, speck a call for me this weekend, please.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Yes, sir.
Thank
Peace
you.
And power, everyone.
Thank
Peace
you.
Power.
Thank
Peace
you.
Power. Black power.
Black power.